Isaiah chapter 46 tonight. I want to read verse number 9 and verse number 10. The Bible said, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand." When I read this today, I got something here. "And I will do all my pleasure." How many believes our country's in a mess? But did you know that I believe God sets them up and God takes them down? Did you ever stop and think sometimes that we're getting just exactly what we deserve? We spit in God's face, tore His commandments down off of the wall. And God said, "I'll do all my pleasure." Pray with me just a minute. Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for your people. Thank you for He, the Holy Ghost. Lord, we couldn't even begin to get a thought from the Word of God without your help. God, I pray tonight, Lord, you'd clothe us in our calling. I pray, Lord, tonight for that young man we've been burdened for all week, Lord, that needs to be saved. God, I pray that soon he'll trust you. God, I pray for the new converts, God, that you'll help them and strengthen them. I pray, Lord, for the kids that are coming into the programs, our Father. Some of them are coming out of very, very bad situations. God, I pray that, Lord, they'd understand that somebody here at Bible Way loves them, cares for them. Lord, I pray that we could point them to Jesus. I pray now, Lord, tonight you'd take control of the service and help us, and we'll give you glory. In thy name we pray. Amen. If you go back into chapter 45, in verse number 5, he said, "I am the Lord, there is none else." In verse number 6, at the end of the verse, he said, "I am the Lord, and there is none else." In verse number 14, at the end of the verse, he said, "God is in thee, and there is none else." In verse number 18, the end of the verse, he said, "I am the Lord, and there is none else." Verse 21, he said, "There's no else beside me." In verse number 22, he said, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." And get over in chapter number 46 and verse number 9, God wants to kind of add a phrase to that. He said, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God." And then he said this, "There's none like me." I believe tonight that if you know Jesus, you know he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I thank God tonight for the friends that God has given me in this world. But the songwriter got it right when he said, "What a friend we have in Jesus. There's none like him tonight." And I praise God tonight for his goodness. I want tonight to magnify a thought, if I can, for a little while. And that thought is this: there's none like him in his speech. Look what the Bible said over here in verse number 19. He said, "I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right." We're living in a generation when someone says something, there's just about as good a chance they're lying as telling the truth. But aren't you glad we serve a God that cannot lie and will not lie? His word is trustworthy. What he declares unto you and unto me are things that are right. And then in verse number 10 of chapter 46, he said, "Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand." You know, we mentioned a while ago things that are going on in the world. I mean, I'm just being honest. I would have never dreamed that we would have thousands upon thousands of people hating the nation of Israel and hating the Jewish people. I would have never dreamed it in all my life. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying it's kind of taken me by surprise. But according to the Word of God, it ain't taken God by surprise. I believe, Brother Eddie, in the end time, the whole world's going to turn against them. They've forgotten that He's God and there is none else and they're His people. And He's going to take care of them, amen. There's none like Him in His speech. I'm going to give you some things tonight and just using this kind of as a springboard and talking about the words, the speech of our Lord. In John chapter 7 and verse 46, the Bible said the officers answered, "Never a man spake like this man." Now, I believe tonight that I read John chapter 17, some of it today. I believe that if we just pulled in alongside of Jesus or even just within earshot of Him praying like He prayed in John chapter 17, I believe we'd say never a man spake like this man. Never a man prayed like this man. Never a man lived like this man. Amen. And even Jesus, He said, "I have all power in heaven and in earth." Even Jesus, He deemed it necessary to get alone with His Father. In that crowd during the day, He would get alone with His Father early in the morning. And what a blessing that is. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 29, the Bible said He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. When Jesus spoke, it was evident to those that are around that His speech was different than the religious men of that day. Amen. I believe that's one of the things that rubbed them the wrong way. Because when He spoke, people listened. And I believe that Jesus, when He spoke, they knew He was speaking truth. They knew He was speaking, beloved, to them. I just want to stop and say this tonight. I'm glad I live in America. I'm glad I had an upbringing that when He come by my way that night, I didn't have to guess who it was that was speaking to me. He spoke as one having authority. I couldn't argue with Him because He was right and I was wrong. That's a happy day in our life when we realize how right He is and how wrong we are. How holy He is and how sinful we are. So He taught them as one having authority. When He spake with power. Turn with me to John. I know you know this tonight, but I want to magnify it. John chapter number 18 for just a moment. In John chapter 18, Jesus, when He had spoken these words, that's His prayer. I mean, if you want to read the Lord's Prayer, you got to read John chapter 17. "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name." That's a model prayer. Jesus is telling us how to address the Father. But I'm telling you, in John chapter 17, He's addressing the Father. Amen. And if you'll read it, He's addressing the Father on our behalf. Amen. Now watch verse 1 of chapter 18. "When Jesus had spoken these words, He went forth with His disciples over the brook Kidron, where was a garden into which He entered and His disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed Him," I love this phrase, "he knew the place." Judas knew where he could find Jesus. The garden, that place where He prayed. "For Jesus oft times resorted thither with His disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons." I'm going to tell you, beloved, we're about to see a weapon that's bigger than a torch, bigger than a lantern. Amen. Bigger than the weapons. "Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon Him, He went forth and said unto them, just a simple little statement, whom seek ye? Watch what the Bible said. They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. And as soon as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. This world, beloved, they think they can handle him. That day when they crucified him, they thought they had handled him. But that third day was coming. They thought they had the victory. They thought they'd put him away for good. What I'm wanting you to see tonight is the power in his voice. I believe this is something we ought to pray. We ought to pray that God speak to people. I learned a long time ago, my capacity is limited. I can stand as a pastor and a preacher, and I can speak to people's ears. But if it goes any deeper than that, there's a God in heaven that has to take it on down into their hearts. I've seen people walk these aisles crushed. It wasn't because of something I said. It's because they heard his voice. We need more of that. Not only among sinners, but among the saints. We need to come into church and say, God, you speak to me. Amen. Speak to me. We're saved. Yes, we're saved. We're heaven bound. But we need that powerful voice to speak to us. Hebrews chapter 1 tonight. I want you to think about this, the power in his voice. Do y'all believe that he spoke the world into existence? I do. The Bible said in verse number 1, God, who at sundry times, and this is chapter 1 of Hebrews, in divers manners, spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he had made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. I want to say there's none like him. There's none like him in his speech, amen. There's nobody else, beloved, that can put the stars out there and then name them. Name them everyone, amen. Ain't nobody else could know how many hairs is in her head tonight. There's none like him. And none like him in his speech. There's power. If we were to ask the disciples tonight, what do you think about Jesus and his word, his speech, when he speaks? I read a story today. It said there arose a great storm of wind and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. I don't know about you, but when you can't dip it out with a coffee can as fast as it's coming in, it'll scare you. Amen. You say, why did you say that? Because I lived through that. My dad was in the back with the coffee can, and I was down behind the steering wheel, and the boat that I had was an old, old boat, an old fiberglass boat. And Dad adjusted on that carburetor, and he fooled with it, and he messed with it. This was our second trip out. We were on South Holston Lake up in Abingdon. It come a storm, beloved, I'm telling you, just like that. The only reason we were still there is because we were fishing for bluegill, and Dad caught a bluegill down under a little old brush pile, and he was reeling it in, and the fish that was after that bluegill had a mouth on it that was that big around. My dad said, son, that was a big fish. I said, Dad, I saw his belly when he rolled over and went back down. His belly was that long. It was a largemouth bass. And so what did we do? Oh, it's thundering. It's lightning. But there's a fish under that brush pile we want to catch. And so maybe it'll go around us. We got in that tackle box and got everything we could find to throw under that brush pile trying to get that fish to hit it. We couldn't get it. And all of a sudden, it was like God cut the south end out of heaven. And it wasn't raining, it was bucketing. He was pouring out buckets. He said, "Son, we better go." You couldn't even see where the boat ramp was. We're going out across that lake. Dad's dipping it out with a coffee can. I'm down behind the windshield trying to steer the thing. And about that time, Brother Junior, if I never move, I told Dad 100 times, "Dad, that's a 40 horsepower Evan Rude." I said, "A trolling motor will take a boat across the lake faster than this thing will." And I reckon the varnish cut loose in that carburetor and it went womp, 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 and it set up on the prop like that right there. I tell you what it did, it threw me back in Dad's lap. I had to crawl back up to the steering wheel behind that old boat. And I mean, in just a minute or two, we was at the boat ramp. We couldn't even see what we were doing. And I thank God. But you know what? I didn't understand the power of His voice. I'm just trying to get you to see a little bit what these disciples, they didn't have a 40 horsepower Evan Rude. The Bible said there rose a great storm of wind. The waves beat in the ship so that it was now full. And He was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awake Him and say unto Him, "Master, carest not that we perish?" And He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, "Peace, be still." You say, "Pastor, you're trying to tell us there's none like Him?" I don't know anybody else that could step out on the bow of the ship and tell the waves to lay down, amen, and the wind to stop blowing. "Peace, be still." The Bible said, and the wind ceased. Now listen, I'm all the time, for different reasons, looking at the weather. I want to know what the wind's doing. I want to know what the radar's doing. And you can say whatever you want to, but I believe when the Bible said the wind ceased, I believe it ceased. I believe there was a calm, amen, like you ain't never seen before. I believe, watch what the Bible said, and there was a great calm. And He said unto them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey Him?" Can I just say this tonight? I'm not being critical, but we need to go back and read these stories like we did when we were a child or somebody read them to us. We need to fall in love with this one again, amen, that's got power over the creation, amen, and realize, beloved, listen, I've told people this thousands of times. When there's something wrong in this old body, why don't we turn to the one that made it, amen? If anybody can fix it, He can. And if He don't want to fix it, He'll fix it permanently, amen. The Bible, if we ask the disciples, "What do you think about this man?" They'd say, "Ain't never a man spake like this man." They'd say, "There's none like Him." Amen. What if we were to ask Mary? Do y'all remember Jesus? He rose and Mary went down there to the tomb. You remember the story. And she thought He was the gardener until something happened. How many remembers what happened? He spoke to her. He called Brother Ralph her name. He said, "Mary." Oh, glory to God. I don't see it recorded in the Bible, but I believe in her heart. She said, "Whoa, that's Him." Amen. The Bible said, Jesus said unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" She, supposing Him to be the gardener, said unto Him, "Sir, if thou hast borne Him hence, tell me where thou hast laid Him, and I will take Him away." Jesus saith unto her, "Mary." She turned herself. Glory to God. I've heard that voice before, amen. I believe there's none like it. There's none like Him in His speech. She said unto Him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." What a blessing. There's none like Him in His speech. You remember, we talked about the disciples in the storm a while ago. They're in a little bit different kind of a storm. Now they're in a spiritual storm. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, they were gathered behind closed doors. Jesus had risen, and they were gathered behind closed doors. Anybody remember why? For fear of the Jews. They were afraid. They were hiding out. And the Word of God said, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord. And when he had spoken these things unto her, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. Brother Gary, I believe when they was on that boat, they thought it can't get no better than this, but it did. Oh, glory to God. Now they don't have just peace in the sea and peace with the wind. They got peace in their heart because Jesus showed up and spoke to them. Amen. I heard a song years ago. It says, sometimes he calms the storm. Sometimes he just calms me. Amen. That's the God we serve tonight. There's none like him in his speech. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, I love this, he breathed on them and said, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. I don't know about you tonight, but I believe the greatest need of the church, I mean our church, I mean every church, I'm talking about the born-again church, the church that Jesus bought with his blood, is a fresh breath from heaven. We need him to breathe on us once again. Then turn with me to Revelation chapter 1. There's none like him in his speech. In Revelation chapter 1, John is exiled on the Isle of Patmos for the Word of God and for his testimony. The Bible said in verse 9 of Revelation 1, by the way, I'll just throw this out there for you. There are those that say you shouldn't read Revelation, that you shouldn't study Revelation, that you shouldn't preach Revelation. I'm just going to go with what God said. God said in verse 3, Blessed is he that readeth, they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. I'm not saying I understand everything about the book of Revelation. I don't. But I know this. I don't understand everything there is to understand about electricity, but I'm going to keep turning the light on, amen, so I don't stump my toe in the dark. The Bible said in verse 9, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega. I believe if you had asked John tonight, what's his voice like? He'd say, there's none like it. He'd say, you've never heard a voice like the voice of the Son of God. I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and Smyrna and Pergamos and Thyatira, unto Sardis and Philadelphia and unto Laodicea. And watch this now. And I turned to see the voice. I'm going to tell you what, beloved, when he speaks, wherever he's at, you'll want to turn that way. Somebody say amen. I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. His feet like undefined brass, as it burned in a furnace, and his voice, notice this, as the sound of many waters. I've never been to Niagara Falls. How many's been? I've seen it on TV. How many's been again? I believe that'd be the sound of many waters, wouldn't it? I'm just imagining when it comes off of there. Is it pretty loud? Does it sing loud enough for you, Brother Dale? Amen. Amen. Can you imagine the voice of the Son of God? And by the way, John's just trying to describe it. Really, remember when he spoke to you, there's really no way to describe it, are they? It's personal. John said his voice was as the sound of many waters, and he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, this is what I want you to see. First he heard him, and then he saw him. We're going to have to hear his voice, and then we can see him. And when we see him, beloved, it's not going to be, look at me. It's going to be, look at him. This same Isaiah that said, there's none like him. I am the Lord. He recorded it for us and said, there's none like me. This same Isaiah is the one that in the year King Uzziah died, he saw the Lord high and lifted up. The seraphims, the cherubims, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Isaiah had spent five chapters telling us what was wrong in the nation of Israel. I'm bad to get in that rut. I know that. There's a lot of things wrong. But I tell you, there's a lot of things wrong in that mirror too if we'd look in it. Our worst enemy is not the devil. Men, we shave our worst enemy. Amen. This old stinking rotten flesh. That's why it has to be. That, by the way, did anybody know of a godlier man than the Apostle Paul? And what did he say, Brother Jack? I die daily. I would to God that the saints of God could run to an altar one time and die to this flesh one time for the rest of our life. It don't work that way. We got to get up every day and say, you don't belong to you. You belong to Him. And the Word of God said here, and when I saw Him, I fell at His feet as dead. I've heard people say like that, well, when I get to see the Lord, I'm going to ask Him about this, and I'm going to ask Him about this, or I'm going to tell Him this, and I'm going to tell Him that. I don't believe a lick of that. Amen. John heard Him. John saw Him. And John fell at His feet. A lot of the songwriters have talked about face to face. And I believe that's going to happen. But I believe something will happen before we ever get face to face with Him. We'll be face to feet. We'll want to fall at His feet and worship Him. He said here, I fell at His feet as dead. He laid His right hand upon me, saying unto me, here we go again. Can you imagine when John heard this, Brother Gary? Fear not. Really? There's an application here. The Bible said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Say amen. I'm going to tell you what, you see yourself hanging over hell right good and you'll fear the Lord. But that same one that will bring you to that place of fear. What was the line in, I can't remember the line now in Amazing Grace. Can't remember it. But it was grace that taught my heart to fear. And grace, my fears relieved. That same grace that God spoke to me about my sin, God turned right around and spoke to me about the Savior. Pointed me to Jesus. Amen. Grace taught my heart to fear. And I believe that's the same right here with John. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, but he said, "Fear not, I'm the first and the last. I'm he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I'm alive for a little while, forevermore." Amen. One preacher said, "I wouldn't get too excited. You're just going to live as long as God does." Amen. Have the keys of hell and of death. I heard an old preacher say years ago, and I liked it. He said, "The devil's the only one I know that don't even have the keys to his own business." Amen. There have been times when I've showed up here at the church and didn't have a key to get in my own church. Amen. And don't go around telling people I'm like the devil, please. Give you this, three things quickly. We'll go to the house tonight. First of all, the deliverance when responding to his voice. In Psalm chapter 95, he said, "He is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice." John chapter 10, verse 3 said, "To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out." Jesus said in John chapter 10, "My sheep hear my voice." He said, "I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." When we believe what we believe concerning eternal life, that a person is saved one time forever, that's saved. Saved. Born again. You don't get born again and again. It'll only happen once. But when we believe that, what we're accused of is, well, you can just live any way you want to and still go to heaven. Beloved, I'll tell you, he said, "My sheep hear my voice." He said, "I know them." What else did he say? He said, "They follow me. I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish." That scripture lines up with 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. I used to tell the men in prison, and I believe it's a true statement, if there's no change, there's no Christ. I used to tell the men in prison, if you don't want a change in your life, you don't want Jesus, because Jesus will change your life. He'll change your life. I'm glad he did, aren't you? Let me back up. I'm glad he's still changing my life. The Apostle Paul, as godly a man as he was, he said, "I'm not yet attained." He said, "Forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth to those things which are before." He said, "I press toward the mark." There's a mark, and I'm pressing toward it. Remind me of what Brother Mitchell said. I think I can get it close. I hope I can. He said, "We're not perfect, but we ought to strive for it." And I think that's right. We ought to strive for it. We ought to strive to be as holy as we can. The Bible said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Not for a show, but for a Savior. He didn't come to save us in our sin. He came to save us from our sin. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So there's deliverance for those that will respond to his voice. A couple more things and I'm done. There's delight in hearing his voice. Listen to what the Bible said in John chapter 5. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life." When I see that, Brother Ralph, I think about what Brother Jack did to you. Brother Ralph, when he got hooked up with Brother Jack, he didn't believe in eternal security, if that's what you want to call it. Brother Ralph told him, go home, get his Bible down, said, every time you read the word everlasting, eternal, said, underline it. Now, it took Brother Ralph a while because he's hard-headed, ain't he, Sister Shelby? Amen. You know what I say about that? I'd rather a man be hard-headed as hard-hearted, amen. He ain't got a hard heart anyway. But after a little while, Brother Ralph, how long did it take, brother?
About 2 weeks.
About 2 weeks. That's pretty good, ain't it, amen? Let me tell you something real quick. It's just time out, parentheses right here. You deal with somebody that don't believe that, let me give you a way to address it. Kindly. Ask a person, what is the gift of God? Anybody, you know, if they say they're saved, they know what the gift of God is. The gift of God is eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay, then I ask this question. When does an individual receive the gift of God? I've never had anybody tell me but one answer. When you get saved. And that's right, Brother Jack. See, the Bible said, he that hath the Son hath life. That's old English term, means you got Jesus now, you got life now. Amen? That's what it means. Okay, then I ask this question. Okay, the gift of God's eternal life. You got it when you got saved. If anything ever happened, anything that interrupted that, was it eternal to start with? That's a kind way that you can deal with people. At least get them thinking, say amen. I used to work with a man that was a staunch free will Baptist. I mean staunch, a good man, a godly man. I got aggravated with him one day. I said, if you wasn't a free will, I'd tell you to get lost. That's what I told him. Amen. Delight in hearing his voice. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that means truly, truly, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear his voice. You see, God's going to speak loud enough that day. It don't matter if they're in the bottom of the sea. It don't matter, beloved, if they're 6 feet under or if they're buried in an earthquake and they're 1,000 feet under. If they died in the Lord, God's going to speak. They're going to come forward. A lot of people get mixed up right here, and this is where they get the thought of a general resurrection. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear his voice, hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so he hath given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Now listen to me. Just because it's in the same verse, don't mean it happens at the same time. Now say, Pastor, how about a proof text? How about this? Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Now I'm not real smart, but if they's the first, they bound to be another. And they are. There's a resurrection of the just and the unjust. But they don't happen at the same time. I'm glad, thank God, the church is going to meet Jesus in the air. Going to hear his voice. You know what we'll say? Ain't none like that. Amen. Glory to God. In my dream that I had the other night, I didn't hear a voice. I was just ascending. I saw him. I was ascending. And I'm telling you, I'm praying God will let me have that dream again. You know, there are times, listen to me. I'm funning a little bit right here. But Sister Marie, if I could get saved again, sign me up. If it's just half as good as it was the first time, sign me up. Ain't it good to be saved? Hear his voice. You say, Pastor, why did you say delight in hearing his voice? Well, the Bible said he's going to come. All that are in the grave is going to hear his voice. Psalm 17, verse 15 said, as for me, I will behold thy face and righteousness. Then he said this, I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. How many of you ever bought something you wasn't satisfied with? Amen. How many's ever ordered something at a restaurant you want to? Oh man, I tell you, my stomach just turned over thinking about that. Amen. That had to come out of a dog food can. It was awful. Amen. But in that day, We're going to behold his face in righteousness and be satisfied when we awake in his likeness. So I gave you the deliverance that comes about when we respond to his voice, the delight that there is yet future for the child of God in hearing his voice. There's none like him. But I want to give you this tonight. I believe that folk that are here tonight are saved. But I'll say this. It really don't matter what I believe. You know whether you're saved or not. And God knows whether you're saved or not. And I really believe this. I don't believe anybody ever gets saved without the devil putting up a fight. And I believe every time that the devil loses that fight, he knows it. That person comes to the Lord. The last thing I'll give you tonight, I hate to close on a negative note, but there's the danger of neglecting his voice. The Bible said, while it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. I'm telling you, if we only knew how precious it is to get to hear the voice of God one time, harden not your heart. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Proverbs 29, verse 1 said, he that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. I've been criticized for this statement, but I really believe it's right. There's only one reason that people die without God and go to hell. They didn't respond to his voice. Say, Pastor, what if they didn't hear his voice? The Bible said this is the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Let me ask you this. Are the stars over top of every man? Or is the sun over top of every man? Is the moon over top of every man? There's a reason I'm saying that. The Bible said the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth, what's the next word? Speech. I believe when a man acts on the light that God has given him, God will send him more light. An example of that's Cornelius. Cornelius didn't reject the light. He was doing the best he knew how. God said, Peter, I need you to go down there and tell him about the grace of God. Peter didn't want to. You remember that? Peter went down there and he said, your prayers and your alms have come up to God for a memorial. That's a proof text. Some people say, well, God don't hear any prayer that a man prays unless it's a sinner's prayer. They'll use that scripture over there where the Bible said, we know the Lord heareth not sinners. First of all, who said that? The Pharisees. Second of all, who was they calling a sinner? Jesus. I'm going to tell you, if a man wants to know the Lord, he can talk to him. If he'll act on the light God gives him, God will send him more light. We're living in a generation where people are neglecting the voice of God, neglecting the light that God has given them. That's sad. That's one of the reasons we're in the shape we're in. Amen. Even in pulpits. People say, well, I see it, but I'm not going to preach that. That'll make somebody mad. God help. Amen. Better teach and preach the whole counsel of God. How many's glad you come tonight?